Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. You know, when you live in Washington, it's enough to break your heart. You see a perfect piece of machinery, the democratic structure, and somebody's always tampering with it, trying to make it hit the jackpot.
When you steal from the government, you steal it from yourself, you dumb ox.
That's it. So here we are on Blue Monday. This has got to be the hottest week in the history of politics in the modern world. And no one knows where Waldo is. Find Waldo Romney. Find Waldo Romney. You'd think he'd say something about the Supreme Court and its assault on Arizona. You would say, you think he would say something about Obamacare, something about the illegal aliens overrunning America. But where is he? Well, if I'm elected, I'll save America with jobs, more jobs. I'll give you jobs. There'll be pot in every chicken. Used to be that a congressman would say, if I'm elected, I'll give you, there'll be a chicken in every pot. Of course, that's all changed now with medical marijuana being the new rubric. The politician saying, I'll put some pot in every chicken. And yet over the weekend, I look at what's going on in this country with the most corrupt, tyrannical administration in modern American history. And you ask yourself, okay, you've got Darrell Issa, you've got a few people on the other side standing up to these scandalous tyrants. But the leaders of the corrupt Republican Party are invisible. And so where do you turn? Where do you turn when you see that the Supreme Court upholds one portion of the Arizona immigration law, rejects three-quarters of the Arizona immigration law, and then to top it all off, the corrupt Department of Homeland Security says we're not going to permit the Arizona police to check on the immigration status of anyone they arrest. So they're taking the sides of illegal aliens. Over the weekend, I watched a movie, a piece of it, entitled Born Yesterday. And it's about a gangster who successfully buys a U.S. congressman. Basically, that's the sum total of it. It's an astonishing film. It premiered on Broadway as a play in 1946. It was a movie in 1950, directed by George Cukor. And the actress is astounding. If you've never seen her, you've got to watch this movie. But it's soon after the United States had defeated fascism, soon after the United States had defeated Hitler and the fascism of Japan, the fascism of Italy. And America understood very clearly what fascism and tyranny was. And it ends with a woman who's living with a gangster, played by Judy Holliday, who is slapped around by the pig gangster husband, played incredibly by Broderick Crawford, who was the role model for the Tony Soprano character in many ways, incidentally. If you love The Sopranos, you have to watch Broderick Crawford in this movie, Born Yesterday, to see that the actor who played Tony Soprano got a lot of his mannerisms and his character from Born Yesterday. But nevertheless, going back to the movie, he slaps her around and she walks out. She walks over to the Jefferson Memorial, and the camera pans to the inside of the rotunda, and in it it says, I have sworn on the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. That's Thomas Jefferson. I would like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the other tyrants in our administration to be forced by the people of this country to walk under the rotunda of the Jefferson Memorial and stare at it with their own tyrannical eyes and see that they, in fact, have become the tyranny that Jefferson warned against. That's what I'd like to see. So let's play clip one again. Just play it for the listeners.
I have sworn upon the altar of God. Eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
Every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Now, we know that Wolf Blitzer and CNN are tyrannical in what they do to the people on a daily basis, but they're only one of many. Over the weekend, I saw CNN hit a new low today, by the way. It was a new low on the order of something that Leni Riefenstahl and Hitler's Germany would have been happy. Wolf Blitzer and CNN should be indicted for what they did to Israel today, where they talk about Israel deporting thousands of illegal African immigrants without reporting on the slaughter in Syria, the torture in the Muslim world, the murder of Coptic Christians in Egypt. Instead, the vermin Jew haters at CNN talk about Israel asserting its sovereignty and deporting African illegal immigrants. It was shocking to watch this. So when you talk about the tyranny of man and the tyranny of eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man, you understand finally that I am a Jeffersonian American. I, Michael Savage, am a Jeffersonian American. And I live by Jefferson's edicts in so many different ways. I didn't even know it really in my own idea. And I know a tyrant when I smell one. Obama is a tyrant of the highest order, and he's only just gotten started. He is Junior Doc right now. If this man wins a second term, which looks increasingly likely to me, owing to the Republicans throwing the election. You heard me. I'll repeat it again. I've been saying it to you for a year. They did it with McCain. They're going to do it again as sure as I'm sitting here. Here we have the hottest week in the history of the news. The Supreme Court rules on Arizona. Not a word from Waldo. Supreme Court to rule on Obamacare on Thursday. Waldo is somewhere on a bus lost in America. Sheriff Joe says, I'm not stopping anything. Janet Tyrant Napolitano says, we're going to reject Arizona's ability to defend itself against the onslaught of immigrants. The immigrant racketeers get up today and have the nerve to say that come the vote in November, 12 million voters will come out and overturn the ruling, and we will have the final word. So she's acknowledging that illegal aliens are going to vote in this election. That's the SEIU spokesman. That's the Service Employees International Union, one of the strongest supporters of Obama, one of the strongest lobbyists and supporters for Jerry Brown in California. She's saying that our Supreme Court basically will be overturned by the illegal alien hordes in clip 9. You have to listen to this. Listen to it.
We have news for Sheriff Arpaio. This law will not stand. The Latino community has been watching this decision very closely. We will, in fact, turn out on November the 6th. We expect that there will be an excess of 12 million Latinos that will turn out to vote. The Supreme Court had their say today on the show me your papers provision. On November the 6th, Latinos will have the final word. We will in fact say...
Wait, stop. What do you mean Latinos now are going to take over the... If this rat is saying that they have the power to overturn the Supreme Court, then he means that they're going to cause a revolution at the ballot box, which means that we have been invaded, which means that Mexico is taking over America, which means that we, the American people, are going to have a problem on our hands when 12 million illegal aliens try to overturn the U.S. Supreme Court. I'll be right back to pick up where this illegal alien has the nerve to say that 12 million illegal aliens will overturn the Supreme Court. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, the hottest week in politics in modern American history, and Waldo Romney is nowhere to be found. If you care to comment on what's going on in Arizona, what's going on with the Republicans, and my suspicion they're throwing the election, Jefferson's great statement, I have sworn on the altar of God, eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man, you can give me a ring at 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in West Virginia. Bill, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I think that they could. The Arizona went about this the wrong way in that. If they want to control this problem in that, they could take and have it, use a tax law, develop a tax law to take and control this thing, because how did they control Al Capone? How did they get Al Capone? They used tax laws in it. Tax law is the perfect way, an underhanded way to go about handling this problem, I think.
Wait, hold on. They got Al Capone on tax evasion. That is correct. They got many gangsters on tax evasion. So who's the gangster here flooding America with illegal aliens?
Well, you develop a law that these people have to register in that, and if they want to, I don't know where Arizona has a state income tax, but if they have a state income tax, they collect this tax from these people, if they're illegally in that, grab the
That's
tax
interesting. So they write a law which says, well, there is a law that says if you avoid paying state taxes, you're a felon. They'll arrest you and charge you with a felony. So in other words, if anyone is collecting money in Arizona, not declaring it, not paying state taxes, you mean arrest them for that is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically.
Very clever. Hey, you must be a very smart man, Bill. We ought to tell Governor Brewer to go after the illegal aliens on tax evasion, because that wouldn't be racial profiling, would it?
No, it wouldn't. But Jefferson said the power to tax is the power to destroy. So basically, you can do something with it. You can use it in the opposite, I guess.
Very, very clever, and I appreciate your intelligence. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, this William in Washington, Wenatchee, Washington. I tell you why Romney's hiding out, because he don't want to give the news media, the alphabets, any ammunition against him until the time counts, back and forward here in September or October.
Well, I heard the same thing about George Bush when I was criticizing him in the beginning. Diehard Republicans like yourself, good people, true believers, honest people, thought that Bush would get real tough toward the end, and boy, did he get tough. He got tough on America, and he basically built the government to a point that we've never recovered from. I don't buy that. I'm sorry, I don't buy that at all. I think Romney's hiding because he was told to stay out of fundamentally anything. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. For those of you listening to me around America, the phone number is, again, the one I just read you. We are having trouble here on issues, and pick me up, frankly, immediately on the Internet. You can listen to the show on the Internet on many different stations. I'd like to go back to those of you who are listening to this show, to many of the interesting sound bites that I collected over the weekend. Again, I want to refer to a movie made a long time ago. It was soon after World War II. America had just defeated fascism. And you had incredible screenwriters, incredible directors, and people were so intelligent in this country before the mass hysteria of college education took over, where they're educating people who have no business to be in college because they get virtually nothing out of it except how to put a condom on a cucumber or how to sleep with their sorority sister. Before college became a massive form of education for the dumb, people were far more intelligent, in my opinion. So the movies were much more intelligent. The literacy level was far more intelligent before the country was overrun by non-English speakers who don't even understand the language. And so they open a movie with a simple story, which is about a gangster, a man in the not the garbage business, but the scrap metal business, played by Broderick Crawford, who goes to Washington with his ditzy girlfriend by a congressman. Listen to clip 7.
That's some fine congressman you bought me.
I think he's cute.
Yeah, well, I'd like to trade him in, no kidding.
On what, for instance?
For instance, on a senator.
On a senator? Take those blinders off, Harry, and let in a little light. Just for a second, it won't hurt much. You don't go around this town buying up senators and congressmen as if they wore price tags. These guys are honest, sincerely trying to do a job. Once in a while, you find a rotten apple like Hedges. Then you can have him. But just once in a while.
So, in other words, in those days, the script said, once in a while you find a rotten apple. But by and large, they were good people. Now, look how far we've fallen in a half a century, where now the honest congressmen and senators are as rare as the rotten ones were in those days, where now the largest majority can be bought by gangsters, criminals, con men, con artists, highway builders, tunnel builders, bridge builders, bridge to nowhere builders, solar fraudsters, Medicare racketeers. All of them now own Congress through the rotten apples. And what percent of Congress and Senate do you have faith in? But the big question that is begged right now on the Savage Nation is, who bought the presidency? That's the question I'd like answered. I can't answer that question. But when I looked at some of the stories from Europe over the weekend, my hair stood up. One of them jumped out at me, and I put it up on michaelsavage.com. It was a guy from the EU who was a Bilderberg member. I think it's still up on my website. I got to go down and find it. It's somewhere in the middle. And not here it is. I got it from the BBC. The head of the EU, some commissioner on immigration, said that you must up immigration from third world countries in order to undermine the homogeneity of European Union members. This piece of human trash had the nerve, Peter Sutherland, he's the head of the Global Migration Forum, this fat pig gangster had the nerve to say the EU should do its best to undermine the homogeneity of its member states in order to make sure there's a hodgepodge of third worlders mixed in with, in Europe. In other words, what he's saying, he's a white man. What he's saying is there's too many white people in England, too many white people of European descent, obviously, in France, and they must be broken up in order to make the world safe for the gangsters that are running the world. Peter Sutherland told Piers, the future prosperity of many EU states depended on them becoming multicultural. He was being quizzed by the so-called lords. Now, I want to tell you who this pig is. Mr. Sutherland, the pig, was the former non-executive chairman of Goldman Sachs International. Does that ring a bell? A former chairman of oil giant BP, and he heads the Global Forum on Migration and Development. He said that in order to save Europe, the EU should undermine the homogeneity of its member states, which means there are too many whites in Europe for this white pig. Now, this white pig, by the way, who wants to sell Europe down the drain, came from Ireland. He's formerly from the Ireland. He's a member of the Bilderberg Group. The man is now arguing that Europe must be broken up with massive immigration. Now you understand who Obama is. Now you understand that Obama was put in power by the Bilderberg Group. Now you understand that Obama is a stooge of the internationalists. Now you understand that white people get out of America is the watchword.
Savage.
What do you think you've got, Paul? A connection between Harry's combine and the congressman's amendment.
All right, but why single us out to make a fuss over it?
Yeah, why?
What we're doing isn't uncommon. It's done every day.
Done every day, that's right. For all I know, there's an undiscovered murder committed every day. And what does that prove? All this undercover pressure, this bribery, corruption, government between friends. Sure, it goes on all the time and it's tough to crack.
Yep. And so under Obama, it's become not the exception but the norm. Government between friends, robbing the treasury with sweetheart deals, bridges to nowhere, solar companies that produce no wattage to speak of or at a cost that's exorbitant and, of course, of no value, taking over companies, taking over the privacy rights of individuals, threatening states, you name it, this tyrant is doing it. And all the while, we wonder, how does he get away with it? The answer is because there is no opposition party. And the reason the Republicans are silent is because they are in on the game. Don't you understand that the two-party system is a charade? Haven't you yet figured out that the two-party system is a charade? That they lock out any individuals who threaten the power structure? When you read that the European Union is told it should undermine national homogeneity in order to save the European nations, they should flood it with illegal aliens. And you see the very same thing occurring here in America. In fact, with the Supreme Court ruling, now Obama said, yippee, now we can flood America with illegal aliens. Arizona can't defend itself. Tennessee can't defend itself. Any state that stood up to the juggernaut of federal criminals cannot defend itself because we'll crush them like bugs because we are under direct orders from our puppet masters in Brussels to break the homogeneity of America, to flood America with as many illegal aliens as possible until eventually the nation's will to survive is broken. So you ask yourself, how do you come back from a position like this? I can only take it so far. The rest is up to you, the people. The fact is that criminals have taken over this country. Corruption is now the norm, not the exception. Who will watch the Watchers is the question that's gone back to Roman times. Nobody knows who will watch the Watchers. When you see that the TSA is hiring Muslims who can hardly speak English, who leave an X-ray machine unplugged at JFK Airport, as they did over the weekend, a Muslim screener, a TSA screener of Muslim descent, leaves an X-ray machine unplugged, lets people onto the airplane who have not been screened. They then shut down flights. They delay flights. Thousands of people are interrupted. And the corrupt TSA under Obama, under Janet Napolitano, does not fire this individual. The people don't scream enough is enough. Stop hiring third worlders who can't even read the language. Get rid of this agency. It's doing more harm than good. So therefore, what needs to happen for the people to finally wake up? I have no answer for you. I mean, living well is the best revenge is one way to go. You just eat and drink and, you know, fornicate and do whatever you want to do and say it's all coming down. What do I care? And I suppose that's the norm for most of the world and has been for time immemorial. Eat and drink and fornicate and take trips to Crete. Whatever you need to do, just forget it because you're not going to be able to change anything. That's the cynical approach, I suppose, and there's a wisdom in it. There's a certain wisdom in being cynical and shrugging your shoulders saying, what can I do about it when the government is so all-powerful? Well, I suppose you could take that approach, and eventually you'll have the ovens burning again like at Dachau, only now they'll be in Omaha and Scottsdale and Albany, New York. Oh, yes, it could happen here. Make no mistake about it. You see, the Nazis didn't build ovens in 1937. They didn't build ovens until 1943. The way tyrannies emerge is they start with baby steps, and eventually they wind up with giant leaps forward. And what we have now is a man who has taken more than baby steps. He's thrown away his training wheels. He's now on his two-wheeler, and he's feeling his oats because he sees what he has gotten away with. And now he can get rid of the training wheels and really let it fly. You understand this? You know I'm right. You know that everything I've just said to you is right, and you can almost weep from the truth you just heard because it's so rare in this world. The truth you just heard is so rare that you almost feel like weeping because you don't understand why more people don't speak the simple truth. They don't tell you the plain truth. I have no answer for you. I'm an immigrant son. I love America. Whatever that makes me, it makes me. I believe in borders, language, and culture. And of course, I believe in Jefferson's great words, which any individual can read. I doubt that Obama's ever read them. It's inside the rotunda of the Jefferson Memorial right in Washington, D.C. If I were in charge, I'd make every congressman in Washington walk through the Jefferson Memorial and read the words of Jefferson. I'd make them do it every week. I have sworn on the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. I would start with Charles Schumer and work my way around America. These great liberals who claim to be Jeffersonian Democrats are in fact something entirely different. You could define them any way you want. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, Michael Savage. Calls are coming in galore from New York to Palm Beach to Sacramento to Las Vegas. We're open for business. We understand this is the hottest week in the history of news and talk radio. Where is Waldo? If you can find Waldo, you'll be a very lucky man. He's somewhere lost in the Nevada desert on a bus campaigning for a high school presidency because something's wrong with this picture. Romney should be running to be the president of a high school GO because he's not running a presidential campaign. I talk to people every day and they say Obama's going to win. These are Republicans. I say, why do you say that? They say, because Romney's running to lose. I said, why do you say that? They say, why do I say Romney's running to lose? First of all, Savage, you've been saying it for over a year. Second of all, Savage, where's Romney on any major issue? I have no words for them. No, none whatsoever. None. Charlie, West Palm Beach, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I love listening to your voice. And we share something. You came from the South Bronx on Longfellow Avenue, and I lived on Bryant Avenue.
All right, but here's the thing. I understand that, but for the national audience, that's sort of like a non-starter. Please tell me what your bigger point is.
Let me just tell you. I listen to your show whenever I can, probably for the last 10 years. But you are such a passionate American. It is such a pleasure to hear you talk night in and night out. It just befuddles me why you would not run for office and make a difference in this country. So many millions of people listen to you every day. Just give me one good reason that I could digest.
I can give you three good reasons. I'm incorruptible, and I don't want to be tempted or threatened, and I don't want to subject my family to the corruption called politics. That's number one. Number two, I don't have the temperament to be a politician. I'm too brusque. I like to be left alone. I like to mind my own business. That's number two. Number three, I think I'm having a bigger impact on the radio than I would as a congressman, for sure. Take a look at the U.S. Senate. They elected that fat clown up in the, what was that, Wisconsin? Where was he elected? The Fatso. Minnesota. Remember Fatso from Saturday Night Live? He became a senator. You remember him, whatever his name is. What was it? Al Franken, right? He became a U.S. senator. Remember they stole the election by jury-rigging the vote? Remember that? You know what I'm talking about, Charlie, right? Okay, so they take a stupid liberal. They make him a U.S. senator. Have you heard from him since?
Absolutely not.
Why? Ask yourself why Fatso has been silenced. Now you'll get the reason why I can't run for office. See, I'm not silent right now. I'm verbal. I'm verbal. I speak out. I'm a Jeffersonian American. I speak the truth, truth to power, truth against tyranny. I pray that millions will stand up to the tyrant in the White House before it's impossible to do so. If I become even a senator, which is almost impossible, because you need about $200 million to buy the office, I think it's like a medallion in New York for a taxi cab is how much today? 200 grand, 300 grand, I don't know what it is. You know what it costs to buy a medallion to be a congressman today? Take a guess. How many millions of dollars does it cost to buy the medallion to become a congressman? I don't know. So now magnify that. You know what a medallion is to be one of the 100 senators? 100 million? 200 million? Where am I going to get that kind of money from?
Absolutely. It's not possible.
Not possible. So, Charlie, I answer my question with despair and with truth. And I'm going to send you a gift for being such a loyal listener, a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Enjoy it while you still can before it's thrown into a pyre of banned books by Janet Napolitano. Before the TSA in the second administration becomes the book burning administration, where they send TSA agents to every house to gather up books written by conservatives like Michael Savage to burn in a fire because they upset the public order. It can't happen here, huh? It is happening here. Period. End of story. So I want to just take a one-minute digression from that very impassioned call, because I'm asked all the time, why don't you run for office? I gave you the answers. I don't want to be a congressman. I would like to be a senator because I believe a senator has enormous voting power, and I could make a difference. But you don't have to live in a district to be a congressman, by the way. I could live in California and run in Wyoming the way Dick Cheney did. I could live where I live right now and run in a district in Florida, by the way, or pick any district where my radio show is popular and I could run for office. And the Republicans, if they heard of it, would gerrymander the district as they did to Alan West and try to get rid of me immediately, because they don't want anyone who's independent in the system. But let us say I became a congressman, then what? One of 400, what are you going to do? There's no real effect. They put me on some dumb committee and then they say, I'll tell you what, buddy, here's how the system works. You play ball, we funnel money to you and your committee. You can do with it what you want in your district. You don't play ball, you're going to get no money from us in the Republican Party. And number two, we'll make sure you're gerrymandered out of business in the next election. Now, in the Senate, it's a little different. You got 6 years to be manipulated. What good is all of this? Where am I going to get $200 million from? My legal defense fund right now is almost empty. Many of you listen to this show, know that 3 years ago I was attacked mercilessly by the illegitimate British government, and I was put on a list with Muslim murderers, Russian skinheads. I was banned from entering a so-called Western democracy, and many of you came to my aid with a lot of money. Well, a lot of that money is gone. Not only has it been gone fighting the most vicious couple of months, 5 years of legal battles with almost no money left in the fund. You want me now to run for office? With what money? With your money? I'm not running for anything. It's not about money. It's really about lifestyle. I cannot sit through meetings. I can't listen to people who I know are no good or liars. I'm too abrupt. I also don't have the patience to listen to a lot of BS. I am not made to be a politician. I'm a good talk show host. At the end of the day, if you listen to me long enough, you realize the core of me is an immigrant son, very patriotic. I'm still basically a Boy Scout. And then there's an artist who is underneath it all. And the artist really is the dominant personality in my soul. You know, I could talk about so many different things about my attributes, but it starts to sound too self-indulgent, so I'd rather not talk about the watercolors I discovered I painted over the years that I just found in an archive, stories I've written over 40 years that are going to be published in Train Tracks, God willing, come October or November. I can talk about all those things, but I think you only want to hear about the corruption of our politics. I'll be right back to do so.
Savage.
So the Supreme Court threw out three major parts of Arizona's tough crackdown on illegal immigrants. However, the justices unanimously approved the most discussed provision, which requires police in Arizona, this stays, to check the immigration status of those they stop for other reasons. But there's no consequences because Janet Napolitano, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, said that they'll not comply with the state of Arizona. When a cop in Arizona stops an illegal immigrant and says to him, let's say he did something else, he ran a light, or he's got drugs in the car, they smell marijuana, whatever. They stop the car. The police must check the immigration status. Up until now, they would call DHS, or whatever it was, ICE, and find out if that person was here illegally or not. Janet Napolitano is now working hand in glove with the government of Mexico to make certain that there are no checks, no cooperation with Arizona police. So show me your papers are still in there. But there were three other clauses that were thrown out because you're never going to believe this. The liberals were joined by Chief Justice Roberts, who I've never trusted. Chief Justice Roberts joined all the liberals to make certain that three other major provisions were thrown out, which included these, requiring all immigrants to obtain or carry immigration registration papers, thrown out. Making it a state criminal offense for an illegal alien to seek work or hold a job, thrown out. Allowing police to arrest suspected illegal aliens without warrants, thrown out. So in other words, we were sold down the river by Chief Justice Roberts, who joined the despicable left wing to make certain that this country is overrun by millions of illegal aliens. It's a very, very sad day, by the way. It's not a good day. It's not a good day because Obama is celebrating by eating a banana split while Romney has simply split. He's gone. Nada. Nowhere to be seen. President Obama eating a banana split in New Hampshire and would-be President Romney just having split. New York, Adam, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR.
Michael, hi. How do you do? Thank you for being on the air. I'm Jewish. I'm an Army reservist with three mobilizations, Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan. My civilian job, New York State, I'm kind of like, they don't really like these moves. But anyway, I think the problem with this country is cowardice. I look at liberal Jews, which I sprung from, and I look at white Europeans. And what I think they're doing, they've discovered like 40, 50 years ago that you don't have to stand up for anything. Just lay down and make excuses for it. And that way,
well,
you know,
over the ages, how many people have ever really stood up for anything when you add it up? What percent of any population has ever really stood up for anything unless they were forced to do so through conscription or being shot in the back if they refused to run into a hail of bullets? I mean, you know, the human condition is such that people would rather be left alone.
Yeah, I know. But I know you go back to Nazi Germany and sure, there was a good edge of the bell curve that stood up to Hitler. I mean, I know the Pope's dead, but it heads with the Hitler, you know, with the liberal Jews don't give him credit for and things like that.
Exactly. Sure, you're 100% right. Absolutely right. He was a great Pope and roundly attacked by the ACLU and other leftist liars. But I don't want to get dragged into that Pope, the Hitler Pope area, because I know the history of it very well. I've studied in great detail. Was it not for the Catholic Church, hundreds of thousands of other Jews would have been killed and slaughtered by the Nazis.
Yes, it would have happened. The Pope back then did what he could have liked. Personally, I think the Catholics could have done.
And the nuns and the priests who did everything they could. So there are plenty of them who helped. But let's go on to what we're having happen to us right now under this presidency. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I haven't. It's like, for some reason, people have said, well, white is bad, so anyone of color must be good. So I see these liberals look at Obama, well, he's a black man. He can't possibly be bad, which is ridiculous.
It's insanity. Yes, you have mass hysteria, mass insanity, and actually mass racism on the part of self-hating whites. There's no question about it. It's a mass hysteria unlike any I've ever seen. And he's using race to get away with what he's doing, and with compliance from the Prius drivers around America, who put their headlights on if you pass them on the highway, there's almost no hope for this country. The self-righteous liberals are destroying this country. That's why I have to go back to movies like Born Yesterday or Jefferson. I mean, it's like funny, you know. I was raised on this in high school. Jefferson, who ever heard of Jefferson anymore? They don't even remember the Jefferson airplane anymore, let alone Thomas Jefferson. So what chance is there for this country when you have hundreds of millions of morons running around with iPhones who don't even know that they're living in a democracy? They don't even know what a republic is. How could they understand what a tyrant is? All they know is they have a cool guy in the White House who seems to be for gay rights, and he's younger than the old white guy. That's it. That's the take-home message. The old stiff white guy can't do the mambo. Obama could do the mambo. So they vote for the guy who could do the mambo. You get it? I'm just picking a... Obama could play the ukulele. Romney would break the strings. Obama could eat a banana split. The white guy just split. Shall I give you a few more analogies? I'll do so when I come back.
Seven.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, America's being overrun by illegal aliens, and the president is celebrating with a banana split in New Hampshire, while Romney is simply split and is invisible. The Muslim Brotherhood has come to prominence in the Middle East, thank you Hillary Clinton, and the American Jews are rushing to support Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. It's astounding to me how insane the liberal Jewish community is. Israel's back is to the wall. The worst nightmare imaginable has occurred in the Middle East, next to the disappearance of the Jewish state itself, tied directly to Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Zbigniew Brzezinski with Soros's money, and the powerful, powerful donor base of wealthy Jewish people. Sorry to use loaded statements, but it's unfortunately true. Will not let go of their bias for liberal Democrats. It's astounding to me what's going on in the world, but it's going to get worse this week. This Thursday, the U.S. Supreme Court will rule on the socialist Obamacare. I can tell you right now it's unconstitutional, as I spelled out in a whole chapter in Trickle Up Poverty. You just have to look at case precedents. You don't even have to be an attorney to understand Obamacare is unconstitutional. I'm not sitting here with my brain, oh, I don't know what they're going to say. It's unconstitutional from the inception. All you got to know is that Pelosi's name is all over it. And she ran around with a big hammer screaming how happy she was after she basically bought the votes necessary for it. It's right out of the most corrupt government in history. That's how Obamacare was passed, if you've forgotten. But it's unconstitutional. Study the case that I talk about in Trickle Up Poverty. You'll see what I'm talking about. Thursday, the U.S. House is going to vote on whether to hold Holder in contempt of court. So this is all Thursday. It's amazing this week. And who's left here? Who's left here? Who's left? Where's the Republican Party? So I'm quoting some silly screenplay from 1950 called Born Yesterday, which concludes in a great scene in the end where the girl who was slapped around, played by Judy Holliday, after she's slapped by the gangster husband and she leaves him, she walks into great black and white scene. You know, talk about film noir. She walks underneath the Jefferson Memorial and she looks up and she sees the words that we're going to play now in clip one. Listen, play it.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
Do you realize how brilliant that one sentence is? Do you realize what genius this old white male called Thomas Jefferson exhibited with that sentence? I have sworn on the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. I don't know of a statement that can match that from virtually anybody in this country or outside this country. But what do you do when you wake up and you realize that we have a tyranny that has emerged slowly over the years from the executive branch, a tyranny that is growing, metastasizing? So Michael Savage, immigrant son, writes, Trickle-Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. I know, you're just peddling a book. Well, was Jefferson just peddling an idea? Well, if Jefferson was just peddling an idea against tyranny, then I'm just peddling an extension of Jefferson's idea in Trickle-Down Tyranny. Because as sure as this immigrant son is sitting here before a microphone, we have a tyrant in the White House and a tyranny over the mind of man in the form of the media, unlike any ever seen in the world. A tyranny over the mind of man unlike ever seen in this country, let's say, is what's going on now with the Leni Riefenstahl media. So let's take some callers. It's Monday. We got a longer week ahead of us. It's going to take a very strong man to get through this week without cracking up altogether, as we see our country being melted down by sellouts like Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts, who joined the diehard liberals in permitting the illegal aliens to have their way and their sway over America's sovereignty. It's shocking to see this. Let me take some callers on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Ronald in Las Vegas, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. I was in Washington, D.C. I've been there and read that myself. In Query 18, Notes on the State of Virginia, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever, that considering nature, number, and natural means only..."
Here's the problem. Once we start it, the audience goes away. I appreciate it. But see, I give you a simple quote that says it all, and now we get a whole lecture already. It's already high school, and I went to sleep. If I went to sleep, the audience went to sleep. I gave it simple. I have sworn on the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Why was that one line picked for the Jefferson Memorial? Because the average person walking through it could possibly remember it. What you read to me is brilliant, but no one will ever remember it. So I'm sorry to be so harsh, but I have, you know, the time is short and the work is long. The time is short. We have a very short window to save America. We lose it, it's over. This tyrant will be in power for the rest of his life. Just as he has used the executive order to run roughshod over this country and its constitution, you mark Michael Savage's words, whether I'm on radio or not, if this tyrant wins a second term, he'll eliminate term limits. Mark my words. Mark my words. I was the first one to tell you what was going to happen on so many things. I'm telling you this tyrant will eliminate term limits and will have another dictatorship unlike anything you've ever seen in this country. And then you'll never get rid of him. Never. Oh, I'm exhausted from this already. Let's play. How about some music, something? Because before I get into another heavy topic, maybe it was the wine I drank last night. No, not Blue Monday. No, take that off. Give me some old-fashioned rock and roll. Let me think of what I want to hear to make me feel better. Like, I don't know, a dance song, a love song, something about women on a pedestal. The women have gone from the pedestal to being kicked into the gutter, and they call it a women's movement. How did that happen? My generation, women were put up on a pedestal, so now they demanded equality. They're in the gutter with men. How did that work out? How'd that work out? That work out well for women? I don't know what keeps me going altogether. If it was a normal person, I wouldn't be on the radio. Why am I doing this? Most people make their bundle and then they stop working. What drives me? I don't even know what drives me anymore. So what makes Sammy run? What am I doing this for? There's something in me. I don't know what it is. I really don't understand it. I'm not supposed to be working anymore. The average American wants to work to 55, if that long, and then spend the rest of his life gambling on a cruise ship or hitting a stupid ball around a golf course. I don't understand it. Or visiting doctors who tell him that everything will be okay. Visiting doc... Okay, turn it off already, the music. There's enough one shot now, and I'm getting a double migraine from that. The biggest entertainment for most senior citizens is abusing the medical system. Cymbal shot. I'll say it again. Get the cymbal ready. And the applause and the laughter. The biggest entertainment, the number one entertainment for most senior citizens in America is getting free medical care. Okay, that's good. The number one attention getter for most senior citizens who most people despise is going doctor shopping during the week. Okay, you get the picture what I'm saying? Every day they go to another doctor, this specialist or that specialist. What's wrong with you? I got a crank here, something hurts me there. I'll go in there, come out there. What the next day they go to the free psychologist? What's wrong? My children don't call me anymore because I have no money left. Cymbal shot. On Wednesday they go because something wrong between the legs. It doesn't work the way it used to do. Is there something you can do about it? Cymbal shot. On Thursday they go to the back specialist, the chiropractor jockey. The next Medicare fraud, the next division of Medicare fraud is the chiropractic area. And they tell him, I don't know, I was busy with the ironing and something. I was on the golf course. I was playing tennis. I had something hurt here. Is there something you could do? Cymbal shot. Now you wonder why the system is broken. Never before in history. Okay, it's enough with the cymbals. Never before in history have so many people thought there was something wrong with them when there's nothing wrong with them. And they have doctors out there who are more than willing to accept them as patients in order to bill Medicare. No cymbal shot necessary. It's the human condition to have aches and pains. I remember when I was 11 when I started to complain. My mother, God rest her soul, said, don't you think I have headaches? Don't you think I have backaches? She said, ignore them. That's what you do. You ignore them. Who's going to listen to you? Who's going to listen to you? There's hundreds of thousands of doctors that wouldn't exist was it not for Medicare. So you wonder why the system is broken. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's hard, like on a hot day like today, through the country's suffering from a heat wave. Luckily, the Bay Area, where I live, is so gorgeous, I want to get you jealous. I mean, it's gorgeous. There's not fog in the air, but it's cool. It's got a breeze. I'm able to wear a long-sleeve shirt. I can walk around. My face is cool. That's why I fled the sweltering streets of New York so long ago. I mean, I miss certain things, you know. Seeing fat Italian guys eating scongili on the streets of Mulberry Street when I was a kid. That was a treat. The fat Clemenses literally drinking the food on the streets. I don't see that on the West Coast. Everyone is very polite. All the ethnic groups that came out to the West Coast got denuded of their ethnicity so that you don't really see the color that you would see when I was young in New York, which I miss, truthfully. I like the melting pot. Even the unmelted part of the melting pot was actually the most fun part of New York, was the unmelted part of the melting pot. I like the pieces of the pot that were not melted. Of course, we have a little too much of the wrong kind of unmelted. I was looking up some Jefferson quotes, and I gave you one, which is like a boring high school class, right? But you're going to hear it anyway, because it's good for you. Immediately, the radios, they changed the dial already. The minute I said you're going to listen to a quote from Jefferson, right away, the dial got changed to, I'm going to bang him. I'm going to hang him. I'm going to rang him. I got, ask me 50 words of English. I'm going to bang him. I'm going to rang him. I'm going to hang him. I'm going to do you. I'm going to who you. I'm going to bang him. I'm going to rang him. I'm going to dang him. Now, you know who will be invited to the White House? The rap singer, not the man who quotes Jefferson, because as you understand, that's the world today. So I started with this one. Upon the altar of God, I pledge eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Gorgeous. Had I known it, I would have put it in trickle-down tyranny. But here's better ones. You ready for this? Some of them are longer, but here's a shorter one. Put this in your mind. This should be taught to every school child instead of how to put a condom on a cucumber. You ready? Dissent is the highest form of patriotism. Send that to Hillary Clinton. Send that to Janet Napolitano. Dissent is the highest form of patriotism. Send that to the White House. Here's another one for Obama. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Now, what do we have today? I want to ask you. Do you fear the government? Do you think that they fear you? Who do you think fears who more? Do you think the government fears you, or do you fear Napolitano and the FBI more? You don't even have to answer the question. You have no power over your life at all. You are basically a victim. Here, you want another one? Government big enough to supply everything you need is big enough to take everything you have. Government big enough, Barack Obama. Barry, pay attention, Barry, while you're eating your split up in New Hampshire. Government big enough to supply everything you need is big enough to take everything you have. Attention, Barry. Barry, here's the rest of Jefferson, because I know you're such a constitutional scholar, Barry. The course of history shows us that as a government grows, liberty decreases. There's one for you, Barry. That's one for the road. Dissent is the highest form of patriotism, Barry. Maybe you could put that into the bulletproof limousine on top of your glass, so you know that people who are dissenting are not your enemy. They're actually your friend. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny, Barry. When the government fears the people, there is liberty, Janet. Here's one for Wolf Blitzer. The man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers. Of course, today newspapers are the equivalent of CNN. Wolf, this is for you, you shame. You shameful worm, you. The man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers. Here's one more for you, Janet. The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not. That's for you, Barry. The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not. About 50% of us are not willing to work. And the 50% of those who are willing to work have had enough of the leeches, Barry. Put that in the bulletproof limo. Mississippi, Josh, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage.
Josh.
I have a theory as to why it is that you still work, even though you've made your money. And it can be summed up easily by a quote by Colonel Harlan Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame. He once said that man will rust out before he'll wear out.
That's right. And the way I read it was, first of all, it's ingrained in me now. I've been working since I'm 5 years old. It was basically drilled into me as a child that work is an ethic, and that a man must work, and that a man who doesn't work is a bum. So what does retirement mean? What do you do in retirement? You play golf? How could I do a thing like that? You travel? I've done all the traveling a man could ever want to do when I was young, but I traveled with a purpose. I didn't travel for pleasure. Others do. I can't understand that. I traveled with a reason and a purpose, and I built a monument of scientific literature in my travel. So what is left for me to do but try to basically do the best I can at this point? There's nothing else to do, Josh. It's as simple as... But it was said best by Rodin the sculptor, who I've admired since I was 18 years old, when I read his words, and he said, work is the only salvation. And you analyze it. Work is the only salvation. Now, radio is not the only work that I do, nor is it the only work that I wish to do. I'm emerging and evolving into some other form where eventually you'll see where that evolves as time goes on. Radio is only one aspect of my work. Writing is another aspect. And I believe you'll soon see in the year 2013, with God's help, a totally new form of work for Michael Savage. And it's not going to be running for the U.S. Senate, I can guarantee you. In fact, I'm never going to run for office. Well, never is a long time, as the therapist said to the tortoise.
Savage.
So these are amazing times. You're living through the most amazing times in modern American history. You've got a growing tyranny. You have an illegal alien population that wants to run the country with more authority and more influence over the government than the population itself. You have one criminal act after another being exposed by the Obama administration, which is swept under the rug by the most powerful propaganda machine known to mankind, far more powerful than any ever seen, the power of the modern media, run by demons in Hollywood. It's hard to imagine the level of the demonic minds of those in Hollywood. You don't get me started on them. You talk about men on bath salts. I don't know what Katzenberg and Spielberg are on, but it must be worse than bath salts. I mean, when you think about it, a guy goes on bath salts and he does a horrible thing. He eats another man's face. But what do you do with a guy like Katzenberg and Spielberg who have eaten the mind of a nation and are now eating the mind of the world? They're not on bath salts. What are they on? That every movie they put out is one more vile than the other, one more despicable rendition of the human condition than the one before it, one that melts down the mind of youth even more completely than the one that precedes it. It's far worse than men on bath salts. I have no idea what Katzenberg and Spielberg were raised on to have wound up with such a mentality. I haven't any idea. It can't be the seltzer. It can't be the seltzer. Although I have theorized that the red diaper dopa babies that have ruined America and the world, who were all raised in a certain milieu, it may have been the seltzer. It could have been that all of the bottles leaked leached lead, which is to explain the mentality of the red diaper dopa baby. It can't be the carbon dioxide, but it could be. When you think about it, seltzer water, what is seltzer water? It's carbon dioxide and water. And as we well know, carbon dioxide is toxic to the brain. And so, therefore, it could be the seltzer, for all I know. It somehow crossed the blood-brain barrier, which would be unique to science, so far as I know. But in the case of Spielberg and Katzenberg, it could be that the carbon dioxide, which normally dissolves in the water, crossed the blood-brain barrier and poisoned their minds to this extent that they would create such vile imagery for the world, to have set off revolutions throughout the Muslim world and to have degenerated the entire nature of man. It's possible. It is definitely possible. What else is on the Savage Nation? Food stamps, $80 billion a year for food stamps, but Janet Napolitano won't reveal what's purchased with food stamps. Sheriff Joe, I'm not backing off of anything. God bless him. Obama in New Hampshire having an ice cream run. Romney in Arizona having a money run. Having a money run. He's having a money run while the other one's having an ice cream run. Not one word about what happened in the Supreme Court today. Thursday, Supreme Court rules on Obamacare. It's unconstitutional. Just read Trickle Up Poverty. It's the case of the kosher butchers from the 1940s. I don't want to bore you with it. No, you don't want to know the truth. Obama violated the Constitution by passing Obamacare. They used every illegal trick known to mankind. They literally bought the votes necessary. Remember what Pelosi did? You don't remember her doing it like something out of a Sopranos movie, literally buying the last votes? We put up with that woman with the big hammer. They bought the votes for Obamacare, so it was illegal to begin with. Okay, so is it constitutional? No. How do I know? If you read Trickle Up Poverty, I spent a whole chapter on it. There were four kosher butchers in Brooklyn, New York, under FDR, the first American tyrant, and they were told they couldn't sell certain chickens at a wholesale price or had to sell them, and they wouldn't do it because it violated their religious beliefs. They went to jail rather than give in to the government, these little Jewish guys, the Schechter brothers. They came out, they sued the federal government for having forced them to sell chickens in a certain way, and they won. And then the entire Recovery Act of that time was undermined by that one case. And Justice Brandeis said there, that will be the end of centralized government. That's what he said to FDR, America's first tyrant, and Obama's role model. So I told you that Obamacare is illegal. All of it just went over your head. It's 102 degrees somewhere. You didn't listen to a word I said. If I put on a clown mask and made ugly sounds or, let us say, had sexual deviance on and made fun of them, then you'd be listening. Then I would be able to go on Sirius and make $14 million a minute. Anything with sex in it, apparently. But, yeah, what's the point? Woman high on bath salts tried to bite officer's face. Man on bath salts talking to Jesus attacks elderly woman with shovel. Hollywood magnates not on bath salts eat America's brain. See, that's a headline that's not yet on Drudge. Katzenberg and Spielberg not on bath salts have eaten America's brain. See, that should be on Drudge. But someone has to figure out whether it was the carbon dioxide that crossed the blood-brain barrier that did it to Katzenberg and Spielberg. How could a boy like Spielberg, whose father was a bombardier in World War II who loved America, how could he have created such an anti-American vile man like Spielberg? How is it possible? Talented, yes. Talented, yes, in a minor key. He could make some dramatic movies for children. But in terms of what he's done to the American mind, it's hard to fathom a man like... How does it happen? I don't know. It couldn't have been the ham sandwiches. I don't think he had any. You can't blame it on the nitrites in the ham. I don't know. Maybe it was carp. Maybe the poison carp or the pike. The holiday food, the carp and the pike. I don't know. I don't have an answer for these things. Now I'm already drifting into the live performance in September already at the Marin Center. It's on, by the way. It's on. Can I tell you how I've been working on it? You want to hear what a role you had, you, the audience? Remember Friday on this show? When I was saying to you, I don't want to just do 60 to 90 minutes of, I'm not O'Reilly, you know, standing there like a stick in the mud. Because he just reads his books, and they applaud, they pay him the 75 G's, and he goes home. He flies home on the broken old airplane. Okay, forget about it. I can't just get up there like a stiff in an auditorium. I would be embarrassed to do what O'Reilly does. I would be embarrassed to do that and take money and fly back home the next minute. As the stooges throw money. I'm not going to do. So I have to give you a performance for the money. So I was in a panic. What am I going to do? So I asked you what I should do. And one woman called Friday, bless her soul. You know what she said? Get your home movies, your old home movies of your years in Fiji, your years in North Beach, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and reduce them to CDs, get small pieces, and run them as breaks. I did that. I did two of them as a test over the weekend. I had a guy take my 8mm movies. Some of them were moldy. I'm movies from 1969. 1970, I couldn't believe them. I hadn't seen them in all these years. There I am as a young man, vigorous, the beard in the islands, collecting, chopping down trees. Then 10 years later, with my son in the jungles, stripping the bark off trees, sending it back to the Cancer Institute. I found the movie that is going to be shown at the events that I do that you're not going to believe. I searched through hundreds of 8mm movies. You know, I've talked about me as a young kid cleaning bronzes in the basement. I didn't think I had one picture. Well, I don't, of me. But I found an 8mm gem, 3 minutes, 50 feet, 3,500 frames of my father's antiques market with virtually all the characters mentioned in some of my stories. There they were. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. It's as though I went into a dream state. And it was all on film. I'm putting that onto a CD, so it'll be like with a rear projection screen. So I'm going to do my politics on the stage, you know, the anti-tyranny politics that I do. And then I'm going to go to break saying, but let's take a break back to the past, and it's going to be, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to give the whole performance away. Some of the films I found are worth the price of admission. So I have a really big show for you coming up in September in Marin County. Tickets are not on sale. I know I shouldn't be talking about it. What am I going to do? I do things. I found a guy. I just went to the Yellow Pages. I was asking around, like, how do you transfer 8mm movies to DC? How do you transfer pictures to CD? How can I do it? Everyone's giving me cockamamie stories. I find the guy who's been doing this for 10 years in his house. I'm not talking about going to a photo shop where they'll do a bad job. He transfers it frame by frame. Not the whole film trend. He does a frame-by-frame transfer. He doesn't lose any of the color. He can color enhance them. And then you can edit out individual frames. So the nude pictures of me will be taken out, for example. Me nude in 1969 will be removed from the... I'm joking. You don't want to see it anyway, okay? Arnold Schwarzenegger, I wasn't. I was blessed with a good mind and you know what I mean, an ordinary physique. And I thank God it's not a bad physique. It's still around when you think about it. You know when you look at your physique when you were a kid, like it's the, what's the guy who was just Sandusky at the Sandusky age when he was molesting boys? You never felt you were strong enough and like, you know, like vigorous, big enough muscles, so you took up weights or whatever. I guarantee you the guys who had better physiques are all dead. or walking around in Boca Raton crippled where their legs don't work. How is it that the guys with ordinary bodies live longer? How is that possible? The schlemielish guy with the ordinary body actually lives longer than the guy who was built like an Athenian god. If I could see some of the Athenian gods from my high school class, if they're still living at all, I don't know what that is. What did they, because they thought that they were stronger, they abused themselves more? And us guys who were like a normal of physique watched ourselves more? You think that's it? Or is it that the normal physique is actually the stronger physique than the muscular physique, which breaks down earlier? Because the jocks, all their legs all went in the hips. I know guys who played golf at 50, it's terrible. The hips go. The backs go from golf.
Savage.
Can't we be sweethearts? Why don't we fall in love?
It is, yeah. The cleft tones. Are there any tones left, or they've all become cleft?
Can't you see you're the only girl for me?
Have they all been culled from the earth? I pray not. I hope there are some cleft tones left from Jamaica High School. From White House congratulates Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. You hear? Can you believe this dumb administration? Now, either they know that they just put the dangerous, tyrannical, fascistic, anti-Semitic, anti-Christian Muslim Brotherhood in power, or they don't know it. In either case, it's a disaster for the United States of America. The White House engineers the overthrow of Mubarak and congratulates the ascension to power of the most anti-Western party in history, in Egypt's history, since 50, 70 years ago, and they congratulate the Muslim Brotherhood. Can you believe this? Congratulating them. The Coptic Christians are being killed and driven out of Egypt. The Jews have been driven out of Egypt. They want to go to war with America eventually, and war against Israel, of course. And here's Obama, who helped install the Muslim Brotherhood, congratulating them. And people vote for him. I scratch my head. Rachel, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. It's really a delight to talk to you and to listen to you. And I tried to call in on Friday and even before
that. So what's on your mind today? The time is short and whatever.
Okay. What I see in your future is a stand-up comic.
Oh, that's great. So in other words, all the intelligence, the PhD, the science, that's nothing. I should just become a comedian.
No. It's the way you say things. I mean, you still can...
Throw it all in the garbage. That's what I say. Just become a borscht belt comedian at the end of the day. Get some balloons and make obscene figures with them, like Howard Stern on air. That would be a perfect conclusion to my life. Just become a balloon man in a casino in a Catskill Mountain Hotel circa 1950, making obscene gestures with balloons. Throw away... Yes, forget the learning. Stop talking about tyranny. What do you know about politics, Cocker? Go ahead. Just make balloon sounds. Go ahead. Make funny noises. Be a clown. Be a clown. You know, it's like Red Skelton. Underneath Red Skelton, there was an artist, a genius. Every time he showed it, people didn't want to know that. They wanted him to be a putz, a clown. It killed him. It's the same thing. What are you going to do? So, yeah, what are you? Okay, be a clown. Yeah, you're funny, Mike. I ran into an old friend yesterday. I went somewhere. I'm not going to mention his name. A guy I know for about 2,000 years. I never see him for good reason. Symbol shot. I accidentally ran into him at a certain place. I like the guy because I have a sentimental part of me. He says to me, "You're funny." He says, "You know, you are." I listen to your show every day. He says, "You are always funny. We all listen to you. You always made us laugh. When you get up on that stage, just be funny." I looked at him like, "Oh my God. Oh my God." That's all he hears is the bad jokes. You can't help humanity. You cannot help humanity. I mean, it's just another mote in the mire. What are you going to do? In this case, it's another mire in the mote, but okay, but we won't talk about mire. He's long dead. Another mote in the mire. That's all it is. Another mote in the mire. Where have all the mires gone? Where have all the mires gone? I have some night ahead of me tonight. You have no idea. Going through legal papers tonight. But I found stuff that is like the smoking guns I've been looking for. It's a great night for me. I found the file from 2002, a file from 2001, It's like a great night. I got cold cuts coming. It's so good. I was going through old things for the movies, and I found the carton with smoking guns that's going to make the opposition just, let us say this, it's a good night to be me. God's hand was on this movie thing. That's why I found this carton. The smoking gun has been found. The corpses have been found. Miami, Florida, Kelly, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, how are you? Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I get depressed, you know, I get down, and I come home every day, and I've got to face my wife and kids. And I want to inspire them. I don't want to get them depressed like me when I see all this stuff going on. I got a 17-year-old boy who's about to become 18. You know, he just became an Eagle Scout. You know, he does what's right.
So he's inspiring you. He's inspiring you.
He is. They are.
So why do you want to mess with success? You're the depressed one, not him. He's the one he's the one who's giving you hope.
Yeah, it's true, but you know, I want to come home and I want to inspire my family.
No, wait, hold on. Don't try to inspire when you have no inspiration to give, because it won't work. They know you're not feeling good. They know you're beaten up by life. You're an ordinary middle-aged man who's killing himself to raise a family. That's good enough. You don't have to now suddenly be a god and an entertainer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I thought you were going to say your son was in trouble. Instead, you told me your son's becoming an Eagle Scout. How did that happen?
He worked hard, and he did it.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You must have inspired him for him to want to be an Eagle Scout, right?
Yes, sir.
So what you say to him is this. You know, I once dedicated a book to my son when he was a very little boy. I wrote it this way. I said, to Russ, who both leads and follows the way. Did you ever hear of a quote like that in your whole life?
No.
To my son, Russ, he was like a little kid who both follows and leads the way. No man had ever written that, because I'm an original. That's what you have to think when you look at your son. And you have to say to your son, what is his name, by the way?
His name is Travers. He's standing right here next to me. You want to tell him?
No, I don't want to talk to him. You say to him, to Travers. Travers? Traver?
Travers.
Say, Travers, you both follow and lead the way, Travers. Thank you very much for being my son. That's all you have to say. You understand me?
I just told him, yeah.
Good. All right. So I did my good deed for the day. I helped someone cross the street. You say that to your child if they're good. You don't have to inspire them if they're doing well. Get out of their way. You've already done a good job. You know, most men have disappointments at a certain stage of their life. Jobs lost. Dreams lost, opportunities lost, health issues in their life. The romance has been gone a long time. The job is a dead end, but they're still struggling. So they feel, all right, what am I going to do? You don't have to now be an inspired character for your child. If your child's doing well, that's your success right there. You don't have to also now be an entertainer. I think we've covered that. So let me go back to the depressing news. The Muslim Brotherhood took over in Egypt, as I told you it would. And Obama, salutations to the Muslim Brotherhood. Why? Well, they had already been invited to the White House. They've already been invited to the White House. They're celebrating the victory of turning Egypt into a radical terrorist state on the southern edge of Israel. The hostility toward Israel is so evident. How liberal Jews who support Israel could ever vote for this guy is incomprehensible to me. Instead, he eats ice cream in New Hampshire, and they throw money at him. And then you got Katzenberg, you got Spielberg. It's over. Don't you understand? The mind of man is something to behold. The inability to think about their own survival is something that impresses me about the average man. Hordes of illegal aliens are stealing the nation out from under them, and they think it's fascistic to support states that want to control it. Go
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation.
Here is Michael Savage.
We know that the media is composed of radical leftists, but you've never heard this level of rabid anti-Semitism before from CNN. You have to listen to this report on African immigrants, illegal aliens, that is, who broke into Israel, being deported by Israel. They tell you nothing about the hundreds of thousands of black Africans who were brought in by the Israelis years ago. It's astounding to see the level to which these vermin will go on CNN. To smear Jews and Israel. Shame on you, Wolf Blitzer. If there is a hell, there's a good hot place waiting for you.
Immigration is also a big issue right now in Israel. The country has been rounding up illegal immigrants who some officials call infiltrators and cancers, and they are sending them back to Africa. Authorities say some 60,000 people have entered Israel since 2005. They are crossing its southern border with Egypt. Many of the immigrants are fleeing violence in Sudan and South Sudan or economic and political hard times in Eritrea.
Ali, who's from war-torn Darfur, fears he may be next, even though for now he has legal status. He arrived in Israel 6 years ago. Now he works two jobs to support his daughter, Heba. He tries to shield her from negative comments they've heard from some government officials and from people they pass on the streets. He wants better for his daughter, and he dreams of finishing his education and remarrying.
In a way, it gets worse.
It really cuts close to the bone, both for those migrants, some of them who were crying in the interviews, but also to Israelis. This is a nation that was built on immigrants, and also Jews and Israelis have been persecuted, really ostracized for years. And a lot of Israelis think that maybe the country should be helping these people and have more of a collective consciousness. But the government is really unapologetic, saying, listen, we just can't handle this. This is an economic situation. But some people feel this really threatens the character of the Jewish state, and they don't want them here.
And today the Supreme Court upheld key provisions of Arizona's immigration law. It looks to me like the Supreme Court is now owned by Europe.
This is not the perfect immigration bill, but as a resident in Arizona for 27 years, I have watched this problem grow and grow and grow, and the bigger it gets, the more dangerous it gets.
While I'm not prepared to announce a decision on Senate Bill 1070 this evening, I can tell you what I decide will be based on doing what's right for Arizona.
A failure to act responsibly at the federal level will only open the door to irresponsibility by others. And that includes, for example, the recent efforts in Arizona, which threaten to undermine basic notions of fairness that we cherish as Americans.
But now the radical, anti-American Civil Liberties Union is telling people how to go around the law.
The court decided that if an officer stops you and believes that you might be undocumented, then the officer can ask you questions about your immigration status. But this case is only about Arizona's immigration law. No matter what state you live in, though, it is important to know that we all have fundamental rights, even if you do not have papers, and the Supreme Court did nothing to change that. You have the right not to be profiled or discriminated against because of your race or your national origin. If you're being questioned by police, then you have the right to ask if you're free to leave. If the officer says yes, then you should do so and walk away quietly. If the officer says no, then you have the right to ask why. You do not have to agree to a search by police officers, and you should say that you do not consent to a search of yourself, of your belongings, or of your vehicle. You do not have to say anything to police officers, but in Arizona, you do have to give your full name if you are asked to. But you do not have to give your date of birth or your address.
Wait, it gets even worse. Listen.
If you're stopped while driving, then you do have to provide your license and registration, if you have them. But remember, you do not have to say anything about your immigration status or about where you were born or about how you entered this country, because that information could be used later against you, including to even deport you. If you're arrested, say that you wish to remain silent and ask for a lawyer immediately. Do not sign anything without first speaking to a lawyer.
It is treason, pure and simple, but some, such as Congressman Darrell Issa, are still fighting for the sanctity of our borders and laws. God bless them.
It's not a fight we want. It's not what we want to be on. Yes, we want to be on jobs and the economy. But, you know, some fights you pick, this wasn't one. Some fights come to you, and you have to do what you have to do. In this case, you'll have all the Republicans, moderate and conservatives, saying, we don't want to do this, but we will do it. And you'll have a lot of Democrats voting with us. Republicans have an obligation to deal with 12 million people that are here in a broken system, a system that was, in fact, broken, and that's part of why they're here. At the same time, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We have to make sure that whatever the comprehensive reform is, that it has real teeth and be verified. We can't go through this again.
Up on MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. Borders, language, culture. Supreme Court upholds key provision of Arizona immigration law, strikes down three other parts. Obama, the Muslim, congratulates the Muslim Brotherhood for taking over Egypt. Trickle-down tyranny. I warned you. I warned you what was coming. And now I found something to confirm what I've warned you about. It is the words of Thomas Jefferson inside the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. I'm sure it's something Hillary Clinton has gone past many times, but never seen the words inside. Here it is, Hillary. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson. Obama's socialist designs. These are the articles on MichaelSavage.com. Half a trillion spent on welfare with no change in poverty rate. Thank you, LBJ. The Great Society. You mean the great bankrupt society. Muslim Brotherhood says it will never give up the presidency. It says Islam itself has come to power. This is all a result of Obama, George Soros, Hillary Clinton, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and others who are out to destroy the Western world. Medicare fraud and billions of dollars going to Cuba and Russia. Read it and weep. Germany says to Greece, stop asking for bailouts. TSA panic. Evacuation was over an unplugged machine. Unplugged machine. They diverted two flights, delayed thousands of people because one moron in the TSA, and he has a name, by the way, didn't know that his machine wasn't plugged in. You know what his name is? Did they take it out of the article already? I think they removed it already. Oh, no. With man lane number one during the morning shift with no idea that his metal detector had no electricity. That's who TSA is hiring. Can you believe it? There's your TSA under Obama. Unbelievable. Muslim Brotherhood took over Egypt. TSA panic from an unplugged machine. The European Union is told to up immigration, bring in millions of more to undermine the homogeneity of each country. In other words, get rid of the white people. And this is coming from a white devil. A white devil who's a member of the Bilderberg Group in Europe. Father of global warming, he recanted his hysteria. He says it's nonsense. North Korean kids, Hillary, taught at school to hate the United States. Let's go to the bottom of MichaelSavage.com. Egyptian kills pregnant wife for not voting for the Islamist candidate. Magazine highlights 310 years of New York's biggest scandals. If you got nothing better to do, go to my site and check it out. Who will you choose? I hope you choose MichaelSavage.com. All this and more right here on The Savage Nation. Wait, hang on, before I go, you know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com.
Savage. the next few months eligible and apply for work authorization. This is not a path to citizenship. This is a temporary stopgap measure that lets us focus our resources wisely while giving a degree of relief and hope to talented, patriotic young people. It is the right thing to do. Excuse me, sir. It's not time for questions, sir. Not while I'm speaking.
Well, you know what happened. The president has become a dictator, as I warned you, in trickle-down tyranny. Many of you believed me. Many of you understood me. Many of you know who he is. Many of you know that we have a gang running the United States of America. Many of you know that we have foreign powers manipulating the presidency. And many of you are too dumb to even be citizens. You shouldn't even have the right to vote. To listen to this clown call 900,000 illegal aliens talented and patriotic is enough to make you crazy. You mean he personally knows that all 900,000 to a million of the illegal alien children are all talented and all patriotic? Tell that to the people killed by the gangbangers. Tell that to the people who are putting up with the illegal aliens running amok in this country, destroying schools and hospitals like locusts. Now, you know where I stand because this is my issue. It has been my issue since 1994. I have talked about immigration in detail since 1994. I am the son of an immigrant. I certainly believe that immigration can be important to a nation. I do not believe it's important to this nation. Moreover, the most important distinction that you're going to hear today is the difference between legal and illegal immigration, number one. But let's pause at that note for a second. You have the president of the United States breaking the law, joining lawbreakers, saying lawbreaking is okay. So you say, well, okay, we know who he is. We know that the man is an illegitimate president. We know that he doesn't side with the Constitution. We know he doesn't side with the law. We know he has dictatorial tendencies. And we also know that there's another party that is silent. The real question here is, where are the damn Republicans? The answer is nowhere. And the answer is, my friends, blowing in the wind. Mitt Romney will not be president because of this tepid response to Obama's seizure of power. Mitt Romney has abrogated his responsibility as the chairman of the opposition party. Mitt Romney shows absolutely no regard for the people of the United States of America. He is absolutely indistinguishable in every way possible from Obama. There is no difference between the two parties. I have warned you we are living in an oligarchy. I've told you that for over 15 years. Before you even knew what the word oligarchy was, I was explaining it to you. I told you it's a one-party system. I told you they were Democrats or Republicans. So I'll tell you right now, if I were running for the presidency, I would have called for his impeachment. Not called for it. I would have demanded that the Republicans vote on impeachment, that they should have impeached Obama for violating the Constitution and running around the Congress. I've never seen anything like it. The silence from the Republicans is overwhelming. And I believe that Romney's pandering to the Hispanic illegal aliens tell you everything you need to know about the Republican Party today. Now, I can ask you a question, which is, would you still vote for Romney? Does Romney have a capacity to rally the conservative base against Obama? The answer is no. You see, here's the problem. Romney is making the mistake of believing that you, the listener, who is conservative, will vote for him no matter what he does or doesn't do, that you have nowhere to go. That's the same mistake McCain made in 2008. It's the exact same mistake because Romney is being run by the very same power brokers that ran McCain off the road in order to elect Obama. And I am convinced that this is a fix. I am convinced that Romney is a fall guy. I am convinced that they all know Obama's going to win a second term. I'm convinced that Romney knows it as well. Because I'll tell you something else. Most people never heard of Mitt Romney. They don't even know who he is. You know because you're politically oriented. But if you take the average schmuck, the average moron with his hat on backwards, the average putz, the barbecuer, the shorts guy, the ball-playing idiot, the schmuck who knows who scored what, the idiot with the 49ers jacket, he doesn't even know who Mitt Romney is. because Romney's invisible. What does Romney stand for? Nobody knows. Nobody ever heard of him. They don't even know who the guy is. So you have an imperial presidency. You have a man clearly violating the Constitution, abrogating his rights as president, spitting in the face of the law and order of this land, pandering to illegal aliens as though they are citizens, calling 900,000 to a million illegal aliens talented and patriotic young people. It's enough to make you sick. The talented and patriotic young people are in the military. Those are the talented and patriotic young people. That we know for sure. Not an unknown mass of a million people. Now you understand why Eric Holder has been suing the states that have tried to enforce their voter registration laws. Now you understand that this has been carefully orchestrated with the Republican Party. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'll never be able to prove it. But because of the loud silence coming from the so-called Republican Party, I am convinced as I stand here that Obama traded something with the Republican Party in order to get this grant of amnesty for the million illegal aliens. I'm positive something was traded off. Otherwise, there would not be a loud silence on the other side. There would have been a cry for his impeachment. And mark my words, had the Republicans stood together and said, we are going to impeach the president for violating the Constitution, we're going to call for the removal of Janet, whatever her name is, Napolitano, for this and other acts of misdemeanor level, believe me, there would have been an outcry in this country that would have resonated from Maine to Mexico. Where are the Republicans? Have you heard one word from any of them? Now, Mitt Romney said something. He said nothing. He lobbied.
Well, the Supreme Court ruled on the Arizona immigration law, giving the American people 1 out of 4 and giving Obama 3 out of 4. I'm not so optimistic that they're going to knock down Obamacare. I have a terrible fear that the Supreme Court has become another European socialist court, but we'll see what they do. But it becomes more and more clear that even if it passes the court, there are questions about Obamacare and whether or not it can stand on its own. Joining us now on the Savage Nation is Dr. Donald J. Palmisano, former AMA president, a practicing attorney, and a spokesman for the Coalition to Protect Patients' Rights. Dr. Palmisano, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. It's a privilege to be with you and your listeners. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, I mean, I've pointed out the problems with Obamacare and trickle-up poverty. How do you see them?
First off, it doesn't put the patient in control with the doctor's trusted advisor. Instead, we have all of these directives coming from the federal government. It maintains price fixing, which is already present in Medicare and Medicaid, where they pay the doctor less than the cost of delivering the service. And so what price fixing always does throughout the history of the world, and certainly in this instance, it leads to lack of access to care in the patient's hour of need. Having a Medicaid card, in this law they've put millions more on Medicaid, is a sham because a Medicaid card gives the impression that you have medical insurance. In reality, it's a card that many doctors, the overwhelming majority of specialists, won't accept. If they wanted to fix that, they would put the people on Medicaid who need help, they would put them on the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program. And the people in Congress, they would put them on Medicaid, and that would allow Medicaid to be fixed within a week or two because they wouldn't tolerate Medicaid. So what will happen with the law if the Supreme Court rules it to be constitutional? It will fail on its own because it'll end up putting more people out of insurance before it's all over with. The cost of insurance will go up, and we will see doctors leaving the profession of medicine that they love so much. So we will have a lack of doctors and more patients on an insurance program that doesn't work. So what needs to be done is to get rid of this entire law, and perhaps the Supreme Court this week will do that. I certainly believe that the Supreme Court, just my opinion, like one of the justices said the other day, those who think they know don't know, and those who know don't say. I'm paraphrasing that. But I believe that the individual mandate, the requirement that you must buy insurance or pay a penalty, that will be struck down with a vote of 5-4 and possibly 6-3. And I think there's a greater than 50% chance that the entire law will be struck down. If the entire law is struck down, then Congress needs to put their minds together and do things that will really work.
What do you think they should do?
First off, they should allow people to buy. They should bring competition into the marketplace. They should allow people to buy health insurance across state lines. Then you wouldn't have the government dictating what should or should not be in a policy. You could decide if the insurance company is reliable. You can decide if you want a, for instance, if you were buying a car, you would decide if you wanted a sunroof or no sunroof, instead of the government saying you must buy a car with a sunroof, the equivalent in health care insurance. And so what would happen is you would have competition across state lines. Two, the individual would own the policy. How would they own the policy? They would buy it on their own. They would get tax credits, just like a company gets a they get a deduction or a credit to buy it for their employees, and that creates job lock in many instances. So allow the people to own it. And if you buy your insurance and as you grow older, you get a condition, it's no longer a pre-existing condition if you lose your job because you still have your same insurance company that you've had all along. Or you can go and get another insurance company if you want. You should fix the broken medical liability system that allows suits without merits to be filed, and it costs billions of dollars each year. Of the suits filed against doctors, 82% of those, repeatedly the statistics bear this out from multiple sources, 82% are closed with no payment to the claimant. And of those that go to trial, the physician wins 92% of the time. That shows that there's no peer review for these types of cases amongst the attorneys. The attorneys who file suits without merit should be held accountable, and they're brought into this situation because of the litigation lottery of the contingency fee. They think they may become instant millionaires as a result of this. They get 33 1/3 to 50% of any award. The other thing they could do is what we call voluntary purchasing cooperatives, where large groups of people could get together through some existing not-for-profit entity, and there could be 50,000 people in there, and the insurance companies come in, and you could do this online, and they bid to sell you the insurance, they give you the different policies, and you could buy a health savings account with catastrophic coverage over that, and if you have a pre-existing condition, as part of the reason you're allowed to bring your company's bid into the marketplace is that you have to take everybody in this pool of 50,000 people or whatever. There are ways to do it, and instead of doing it through the free enterprise system, what the government has done is a method of coercion, and this is anti-liberty. The best definition of liberty that I've ever seen is the absence of coercion, and If the Supreme Court rules the individual mandate constitutional, then we are in serious trouble. If the Commerce Clause is extended that far, then we're in serious trouble in America.
What if the court upholds Obamacare? How long will it be until we see the major problems begin in America?
Well, we're already seeing the major difficulties. People are already beginning to see the cost of their insurance go up. Why is that? Because now the children of the parents can keep their children on their policy into young adulthood and also pre-existing conditions. All of these things are being added in, and it's wonderful to have that added in, except that's not for free. There's nothing for free out here except, you know, your liberty, as long as someone doesn't take it from you in the air, the air that you breathe. So if you say those are good things to have, then fine, but realize that the cost of insurance is going to go up, and the only way you'll get it down is to have insurance companies compete against each other where they don't get monopsony power or the power to control a marketplace by being the only seller or the majority seller in a particular market. So I think this thing will start to collapse, and you'll see it collapse when the Medicaid patients can't find a doctor.
Well, what about the Independent Payment Advisory Board?
That's another disaster. That's 15 unelected bureaucrats. They're appointed by the President of the United States. And these individuals, they can decide how much will be cut out of Medicare, and Congress has to go along with it unless they can get a supermajority vote. And they have a limited period of time to do that. I don't know how the court could rule that to be constitutional. They are unelected people that are dictating what should be done by the Congress of the United States. And the other thing that needs to be done is there's a bill in Congress. There are several bills in Congress that would help. One of them is called the Medicare Patient Empowerment Act. Basically, it's something that we've advocated for many, many years, and what America's great on. It's called the free enterprise system. It allows patients and physicians to privately contract regardless of what the insurance company or the government pays. And so right now, I, as I'm treating a Medicare patient, I have to take what the government pays if I stay in Medicare. And if I tell the patient forget the copay, then that is a breach. That's a violation of the law, and I create a criminal act by doing that. I can be fined and kicked out of Medicare, and the patient can't pay me over what the government says the service is worth. That's not allowed, and I can't forgive the fee. I can't tell the patient forget the copay. I can't do that. That's an example of the government micromanaging and coercing people, and it just never works. So we ought to allow people to privately contract regardless of what the patient what the government pays. By the way, in Australia, I wrote a book called On Leadership. It's in a second edition. I have a new book coming out in the fall, Leadership Lessons. And I went to Australia to lecture on my book. I was invited there, and I found out that their Medicare system, the government pays a certain amount, and then the patient and the physician negotiate the rest. It's called the gap. And so you might find somebody that wants X number of thousands of dollars more to do a major operation. And in one case, I found someone who found a young surgeon who is very talented, and he did it for $500 over what the government paid. So that's the free enterprise system really working.
What can we, the people, do?
Well, the first thing that the people need to do is they need to talk to their people in the House of Representatives, United States House of Representatives, and also the senators. When they come home for their visits, or write them, you know, put your zip code in there. They'll know it's for you, and they'll actually perhaps read it. You need to tell them that we know what's going on. We, the American public, we're not stupid. And, I mean, for instance, let me give you an example. When they were trying to pass this, Affordable Care Act, personally call it Obamacare. A lot of people do, and President Obama sometimes calls it Obamacare, but I call it, you know, by its regular name. But when the president, and I write this in my book, I mean, I was astounded when the president actually stood up, and it was seen, I saw this on CNN on August 11, 2009. He said, he's talking about a diabetic with a foot problem. He says if that same diabetic ends up getting their foot amputated, that's $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000. Immediately, the surgeon is reimbursed. Now, that is a fantasy. That's not true. The American College of Surgeons wrote a letter, and it's on their website, August 12, 2009, and he said yesterday during a town hall meeting, President Obama got his facts completely wrong. He stated that a surgeon gets paid $50,000 for a leg amputation, when in fact, Medicare pays a surgeon between $740 and $1,140 for leg amputation. This payment also includes the evaluation of the patient on the day of the operation, plus patient follow-up care for 90 days after the operation. Now, the private insurers, they point out, pay some variation of the Medicare reimbursement for this service. And then they point out that he also said about a children's tonsils being removed in order to make a lot of money. And this is their quote. They said, that remark was ill-informed and dangerous, and we were dismayed by the characterization of the work surgeons do. Surgeons make decisions about recommending operations based on what's right for the patient. So if we have the people who are our leaders telling us misinformation, what I wrote and said before is that the president ought to find out who's feeding him this information and fire those people. I know he's got a lot on his mind with a lot of things going on, both here in the country and our United States, our great United States, and in other parts of the world. But we got to put accurate information out there, because if you put misinformation, you lose your credibility.
Dr. Palmisano, thanks for the information, and thanks for joining us on the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. The American public needs to learn all of this information so we can have a full discussion and debate so that patients will retain access to care and get quality medicine at a reasonable price.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I get nauseous listening to Mitt Romney. I can't stand middle-of-the-road people like him because they're more dangerous than extremists. The middle-of-the-road people will get us whacked out faster than an extremist. So now we have the President of the United States pandering to 1 million illegal aliens. God knows how many of them will be instant voters. We have no idea whether they're going to vote or not. How do you know? Since you have Eric Holder, that prize of humanity, suing the states that are trying to uphold the integrity of their voting rolls, saying, we're suing you, the federal government will sue you if you dare try to find out who's an illegal alien and who's not entitled to vote. States like Florida said, you know what? We're going to sue you because you're not doing your job, Holder. Now you understand that it's a seamless plan here. First, they sue states trying to make sure that their voter rolls are secure, and then they grant amnesty to at least 1 million illegal aliens. And by the way, how do you know it's 800,000 or a million? How do you know it's not 5 million or 10 million? You trust the government that number is accurate? What do you mean young people? Who are these people? Their parents smuggled them into the United States of America. Does that make all of them talented and patriotic? No, it doesn't. And so therefore, we are left without a party in this country. We, the traditional conservative in the United States of America, have no representation whatsoever. None whatsoever. Romney is no different than Obama on this fundamental issue. Now, I got to repeat again what you may or may not know. Before Romney ran in December of 2010, I believe it was, he and I had dinner together in San Francisco in an Italian restaurant. I have the picture of it. When we had dinner, I asked him specifically in very nice terms. He was a nice man, da-da-da-da-da, wonderful man. I don't need nice. I don't like nice in the presidency. I want tough. And I want somebody who's going to act for America. I don't like a nice guy in the White House. And so I said to him, why are you silent, or what are you going to do, rather, about the illegal aliens, Mr. Romney, if you run for the presidency? And he got very, you know, cagey about it. And he said to me right in my eye, looked right in my eye and said, well, he said, that's a tough issue, because if you say one word about illegal immigration, you're going to lose the Hispanic vote. I said, but sir, if they're here illegally, you can't just let this, you can't just sweep it under the rug. You have to uphold the law, Mr. Romney. I said, moreover, you're going to lose your conservative base if you pander to the illegal alien. I'm going to repeat that right now. If Romney doesn't change course, if Romney stays on the same middle of the road, no course that he's on, the same exact course that was used to run McCain off the rails, Romney's going to lose this election, which is why Obama said two or three times in public, to Medvedev, remember what he said, when I'm reelected? And then he said it again, and then they caught him and said, watch out, don't repeat that, because the people are starting to ask questions, Barry. Don't say when you're reelected, although we told you you're going to get reelected. You can't tell the people. Let the dummies think there's actually an election. That's what's going on. What do you think? You think I can't read through this? We're living the last days of Rome here. Both parties are identical. And the reason they're identical on the illegal alien question is because the Republicans want the illegal alien worker, while the Democrats want the illegal alien voter. Any other questions? Tell me how Romney differs from Obama. I'm willing to learn. My mind is not made up. Show me where they differ. They have different styles, but they fundamentally have similar opinions on most major issues, don't they? Joe in New York, go ahead, please. You're here to tell me that Romney's different. How?
Yes, Michael. Now, I agree with you that a politician is a politician. You know what I mean? I'm not a Republican diehard. But to say that Romney is the same like Obama, you're going to tell me that Romney would have pushed through the health care bill just like Obama did?
I don't know what he might do. Romney's liable to say everyone's entitled to health care. How do I know what he's liable to do tomorrow?
I understand it, but do you really believe that? Look, let's go to George Bush for a second. George Bush's cabinet, is John Ashcroft Eric Holder? Is he in the same breath?
Well, let's not bring up George Bush as an example of a conservative. You're not arguing that Bush was a fiscal conservative, are you?
And I'm not saying he's the greatest president in the world.
No, I'm talking specifics, not about greatest or worst. George Bush was a fiscal socialist. I was the only member of the media who called him that for the last year of his regime. Do you remember that?
100%.
I don't know if you were listening. I don't know if you were listening to me, but I saw what Bush was doing. Bush had expanded the government spending to the extent that it was greater than that of the three previous administrations. That's what Bush did. And do you remember that Bush destroyed the economy in the last few months? Do you remember Bush's Treasury Secretary? Can you still name him? How come he hasn't been indicted? How come Paulson has never been indicted? How about Bush's Secretary, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman? Do you know his name, Chris Cox? How come he was never indicted? Where are they now? They busted the economy. Where are they now? They were no different than John Corzine. No different whatsoever. I don't care if they have an R or a D next to their name. It's the exact same thing. No, I have no faith in Romney today because this was his opportunity to step out from behind the shadows and say, now I am Mitt Romney, I oppose this amnesty, and I'm going to demand the impeachment of Obama. That's what was required in order for him to show his bona fides. He did not do it. I'm sorry. I have no faith in him whatsoever.